Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I'm your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I'm a medicine man, and my chosen modality is the written and spoken word. My medicine bundle is open. I've lit the incense and offered it to the four directions. I invite you to sit with me in sacred ceremony. If you are an agent of the government, you are, of course, welcome to listen, but bear in mind that the words and actions of the medicine man in ceremony are protected under federal and international law. You can join the conversation by tweeting me at Mudtoe Sasquatch, MudToeSasquatch, or by email at MudToeSasquatch@gmail.com. And now, Mudtoe at Midnight.
Probably heard me coughing there, didn't you? I guess I could turn the microphone off, but when I do that, I tend to forget to turn it back on when I'm talking for the next 10 minutes, and you can't hear what I'm saying because I don't have the microphone on. Thank you for joining me this evening. This is Mud Toe at Midnight. I am Mud Toe Sasquatch. First, the coughing jag just gets the show off on the wrong foot, doesn't it? But it's okay. We will continue. 29 good minutes left. Once again, thank you for joining me. I want to pass along that my granddaughter says hi, because that's really all she can say. She says hi, and she has a few other words that she can almost say, but hi is the word that is really distinct and that she really knows what it means. And when you only have one word in your vocabulary, you have to double up, so everything is hi. But anyway, she said hi to me, she said hi to her mother, and she says, I'm sure she would if she were here, say hi to all of you. And she's a cutie pie. I love my granddaughter. I was visiting with her this evening. Went out to see my daughter and her family and just spend a little time with them and do the bonding thing. I like being able to spend time with her because I feel like I cheated her of that when she was younger. You want to learn more about that, I mean, just in case you want to learn more about that, there's a new blog entry on my website, which is mudtoesasquatch.com. I spoke about a time when my daughter was a teenager, and I feel being particularly neglectful of her and the gesture that she did that just made me feel horribly guilty in that way that that children and mothers have. But it was something that touched my heart and remains with me, obviously, to this day. So if you'd like to check that out, that is the most recent item in the stack on my blog. Again, that's mudtoesasquatch.com. If you'd like to leave me a message, there is a space to do that at the bottom of the post. I would ask that you make some indication, so some way to that I will know that you are a real person and not a bot. Like mentioning something about the actual story, you know, what did you like about it? If there's any constructive criticism, that's fine. Anything in your own life, any experience that you had that it reminded you of, I would be just ecstatic to hear anything like that. I don't want to hear, and I'm not going to pass along. I have that moderator function where all the comments don't get posted automatically onto the website. So if you can give me that indication that you know you're not selling tennis shoes or Uggs or what are the other things? I don't know. There's just things that tend to come up a lot. Sporting goods tend to come up a lot. I just need to know that you're a real person and have had some sort of real reaction to what it is that I've written. So if you'd help me out by just including a few words like that in your comment, I would much appreciate it. And it will go right to the front page. I mean, unless you say, I will pass along all comments from real people, whether they are complimentary or not. I would only ask, I wouldn't include anything that was overtly racist or had any sort of, overtones of something that's totally unacceptable. But if it's just a matter of you not agreeing with me or you're not liking the story, I don't mind just saying that, and I'll be happy to share your comments with everyone else who reads the blog. Okay, so we're on the show. We're all here together for another 25 minutes. What shall we talk about? Well, let's talk about the bottom feeders from the city. I don't know if you guys have this. I'm in my very large city in the Midwest. Oh, it's a very large city. I think maybe Chicago is a very large city. My city is not as large as Chicago. So perhaps I should say very large. No, perhaps I should say large city, not very large city. So my large city in the Midwest, they make an appreciable income from towing cars. And they're particularly lucrative is their street cleaning and towing cars operation. And what they do is they pick a couple of days a month, and there are different days for different roads going in different directions. In fact, in my road, it's different on each side of the street. And they pick those days for street cleaning every day, except during the snowy months. So I think it's from April to October. And there's a sign up. I mean, it's not a stealth kind of thing. I understand my brother lived in Chicago for a while, and he said that they would put their announcements up like at 4 in the morning so no one would know, and then they'd start towing the cars. I can't accuse my city of doing that. They do put a sign up that explains in detail when you need to get your car off the road. And you do need to get your car off the road, even though I live here. I have to find someplace else to put my car on those 2 days a month. So anyway, what they do, I mean, if you're not off the road by a certain time, they come with the tow truck and they tow you away. Now, I've managed to say this was the last towing day on my street for the year. I was clean this year. I was clean last year, but 2 years ago, which was the first year I lived in this apartment, I had some trouble and I got towed twice. I just forgot, you know, just flat out forgot. The first time I forgot, the second time I had my car on the wrong side of the street. I thought it was Thursday on that side. It was actually Friday on that side, and I got all messed up. So I had to go to the impound lot, which is a respectable distance, to a section on the south side of the city. And the bus doesn't go all the way there, so you got to get off the bus and then walk to the impound lot, and it's not a particularly pedestrian-friendly area. Excuse me. And then you wait in a long line because obviously a lot of other people have gotten caught. And I was actually, I remember doing that. I wrote something about this, but I think this was back when I was writing on Facebook, so it wouldn't be on my blog. But anyway, as I was waiting for my turn in line, you could see the tow trucks still coming in. You know, just a steady stream of tow trucks coming in with cars on the hook. And I was like, wow, this is like a going concern here. And it's $200 to get your car out of the impound. And if you wait, I think if you wait 72 hours, they start charging you an extra $100 a day, something like that. So you can't just leave it. And it was annoying. Annoying to have to part with that money for no reason. And so I was coming home, was it yesterday or today? It had to have been today. It's just weird the way the days run together. But anyway, I was coming home today, and I had my car safely on the east side of the road, but there were three cars parked on the west side of the road right across from my apartment. And here was the tow truck ready to take them away, and I had the impulse to just yell, they're taking the cars, you know, they're taking the cars. Come out, wherever you are. Because if the cars were there, the owners had to have been around somewhere. But I guess not, because I wasn't around. My car was sitting there, but I had been gone all day. I walk, you know, to the university area where I used to work. So perhaps they were all off doing university stuff. There are a lot of students who live in these apartments. But anyway, just 1, 2, 3 right in a row. It was a towing bonanza. And out they came, and there's a tow truck, and then there's a car from the city, and the guy gets out of the car, and he has this wax pencil, and he writes on the driver's side window, he writes the date, and he writes a code number, and then he makes a note of that on his little notepad he's carrying, and I believe the tow truck driver gets a note of that too, and then he takes off with the cars, and in very short order, 1, 2, 3, they had all of them out of here. And it just, I don't know what to say about it. it seems to me that it's, I mean, I'm all for street cleaning. I'm all for keeping the streets clean. It's not, as I said, it's not a stealth operation. It's not a secret operation. Everybody knows or ought to know that it's going to happen. It doesn't seem to be a great commercial for our city. If people come in and there's some parents or something of students and they leave, oh, here's a good parking place, and leave it there and they get towed. When is the next time they want to come to our fair city to have dinner or something? I don't think it's going to happen too terribly often. But the other thing is, it just feels like a conflict of interest. I mean, one feels like the city, because things are so tight right now, one feels like the city would be in financial trouble almost immediately if people stopped parking illegally. And yet the fine is supposed to discourage people from parking. It's supposed to stop people from parking illegally. But I don't think the city really wants people to stop parking illegally, because then they would be out the money. I think if in a more rational system, the money would go to somebody else. I don't know exactly how that would work. I'm not quite that smart. But it seems that there's the whole deal about getting stopped for speeding, and do police officers have a quota that they're supposed to meet? I know in the town I grew up in, they did. I didn't call it that, but that's what it was. It just seems, I mean, for that to become an indispensable part of a city's budget, it seems like something has gone wrong somewhere. It seems like we need to seriously rethink the way that our government systems are financed. I know we need to do that. This is just one small way in which we need to seriously rethink the way that our government systems are financed. So my sympathy, the right, I don't know if I want to use the word sympathy. I think that's one of the words I'm not supposed to use. I extend, what do I want to do? My thoughts are with the people who lost their cars today. The people who are going to be trying to find some way to get to the other side of town, and for the privilege of plunking down $200 to get their own vehicles back, and then try and figure out how to get that damn wax off of the window. So there's that. A little bit of philosophy there. As for what I'm up to, I'm actually home tonight because my football game is not until tomorrow. So I did not have to rush back from anywhere to get to broadcast for you this evening. I don't have to leave town until tomorrow. Such a cool thing, and it's not all that far away. In fact, I'm going to the town where my daughter lived when she was growing up. Lived with her mother in a different place from where I lived. And she went to high school at the same high school where I'm going to be filming the game. So hopefully I'll remember where to go. It's been a while since I've been there. I've never done a game there before, so it should be fun. And, again, don't have to worry about rushing back to be home in time at midnight to do the show. So that will be good, too. And I will have to do that next week. But next week is, according to the schedule, the last game of the year. It's also the last money I will have coming in, unless I can find something else to do. I've been concentrating here more lately on part-time temporary stuff that will help me extend my savings so that I can stay in my apartment longer and put off having to move back in with my folks for the fifth time in my life. I really don't want to do that. So the two sort of hottest prospects, if you'll forgive me for saying it that way when you hear where I'm going with this, I have an interview with FedEx next week. We have a FedEx package sorting, actually two, here in town. And, boy, the job must certainly be awful, because they have a hell of a time keeping people. I didn't even really have to do anything to get the interview. They just said, when can you show up? And I guess what they do is they call it a package sorting demonstration. But I think what it really is an audition. It's a test to see if you can hand A, pick up the heavy packages, and B, comprehend their sorting system. So I'm going to do that. If nothing else, it should be a fine experience for me. One thing I do like about it is that there should be plenty of hours available as we approach Christmas. And then you don't know what happens after that, but there should be plenty of hours available approaching Christmas. And second, it actually pays something approximating a living wage. if I were to catch on there full time, I could almost, not quite, but almost pay my bills, which would mean that if I could bring in some other small source of money or cut back on my expenses a little bit more, which has been, I've actually cut them back way, way further than I thought I was going to be able to. So there may actually be room for more. Although I know there has to be room for more because I'm still eating out way too much. I had cut back, and over the past week, the restaurant stuff has really been creeping back in. And I noticed the cash going out at a much faster rate, and I noticed leftovers piling up in my refrigerator at a much faster rate. And leftovers are bad because I almost didn't always end up throwing them out, and I hate throwing out food. But I digress. I had something else I was going to talk about. I have two sort of leads that I'm following up on, I guess, sort of in front of others. There's not only two, but these are the two that I feel best about. The first one is the FedEx, because they seem to really be desperate for people and because they pay the best. The other one is the Hustler store. That is the same Hustler that's owned by Larry Flint. And he owns now, among other things, he's really quite the mogul. I mean, it's not just the nudie magazines. He runs, among other things, a chain of novelty stores. And they have, I went in, and it's got the costumes in the front and the sex games, the board games and novelties stuff, the handcuffs and so forth, that's in the middle. And then the harder stuff is in the back. I mean, the dildos and things of that nature are in the back. So it's a very sort of community-friendly kind of thing. They don't have the nasty stuff right up front. You have to kind of ask about it and be shown to where it is. And I went in and I asked about their application. They were very excited that evidently someone had come in and asked about the application process. And it's internet, the way many firms have gone now. And so I went on a Monday, and it's Friday, and I haven't filed the application yet. First thing is, I mean, it wouldn't be near as much money as FedEx. It's going to be a minimum wage, part-time sales job, and I don't know how much of a dent that's actually going to make in my expenses. I think it would be a fun place to work. They seem like a fun bunch of people. My main stumbling block, though, is I don't know who I would ask to be a reference for that. I have to provide three professional references, three people that I've worked with before. I'm hoping that when they call those people, they don't say, you know, they're from Hustler. I mean, I hope they would have a little bit more decorum than that. I mean, obviously, they don't feel bad about what it is they do, but I think they have to realize that certain people might look at it in a not so favorable light. I think they would say, I think the name of the company on the website is like Larry Flint Enterprises or something like that. They give an abbreviation, LPESL. What is it? What's initials? And I would hope that they would, you know, when they call these references, they would use that and not say, and they were calling from the Hustler store. Mudtail wants to work in the Hustler store. What do you think? Would he be good? Would he be good to sell dildos, you think? Yeah, I hope that they don't do that. But it's, in any case, you know, in case they don't, or in case they do say Hustler, who amongst my business acquaintances do I know who would be able to handle something like that? And I have made three choices, but what I had to do was, and this is something I wish I had thought of earlier, I'm in the midst of rewriting my resume to include the video business, which right now all I do is the Friday Night Football, but I used to do a lot of other stuff. And that opens up other references of people who aren't, you know, strictly university business type references. They're people whom I know a little bit better personally, and I could say, hey, look, Hustler might call you. Please don't be alarmed. And I would feel better that I wouldn't then lose them as a potential reference down the road. So that's where that stands. It's FedEx versus Hustler. No holds barred. The other possibility is Barnes & Noble, but the one here on campus doesn't start hiring until the end of the semester. No other Barnes & Nobles in town. Again, if I can get something that I could reach, that's a disadvantage of FedEx. I would have to – I don't know it's possible to get there on the bus. If not, I would actually have to drive there, and it is kind of a rather lengthy drive. Okay, Switching to Twitter. I should have said this actually closer to the beginning of the show. I'm not on Twitter anymore. I had a Twitter fit, became very frustrated with Twitter. The Twitter people I was getting on my follower list were mostly younger people. Their posts were mostly about penises and vaginas. I didn't feel like it was my crowd. I didn't feel like I was getting a few favorites on things I posted, not a lot. And I was just getting tired of fighting for every follower. You know, I'd click up once, and then it wouldn't click up again, and I think it's going to click down. I know it's going to click down, and then it would click down. Well, how did I manage to drive that person away? And I'm just obsessing over this. And so I just don't – it's not worth it. It's not worth it. So once the whole writing career starts rolling along and Mudtoe is rolling in dough, well, then the Twitter will probably return, but it will most likely be somebody I pay to do it for me because Mudtoe didn't like the Twitter too much. I think I gave it a fair chance. I've been tweeting since last April, I think. I did it for a class, the very last class I took in university. It was a electronic communications class, which I took because I was hoping to get the job that my former boss had. And I thought perhaps learning more about, because we're trying to incorporate more of new technologies into our teaching, I thought I ought to learn something about that. So I took a class. And one of the options was we had a Twitter. You could actually tweet during class because you could tweet questions to the professor and so forth. So I've had that Twitter account since that class started back in April. And just, I don't know, just didn't get me where I needed to be. So there is no more Twitter, and I'm going to have to change my little opening there that says tweet me on Twitter. Because there is no Twitter account. There is no more Mudtoe Sasquatch on Twitter. So I had to go back to Facebook. Oh, excuse me. I faked that. I'm not a big fan of Facebook. But, man, it's all there is. It's kind of like Microsoft, kind of like Windows. Man, I don't like it, but it's all there is. So the Mudtoe Sasquatch Facebook page is alive again as of this evening. So if you want to contact me, nobody, as I say, I always told you, tweet me. Nobody ever tweeted me anyway. So what is the loss? So hopefully I can drive you somehow to the Mudtoe Facebook page, although perhaps you hate Facebook as much as you hate Twitter. I hate Facebook slightly less than I hate Twitter. I don't hate anything. Okay? Well, I think I can hate things. I'm allowed to hate things. I just don't hate people, but I will hate things. I hate Facebook. I was just messing around with it before the show started, trying to get because I put the page up, the Mudtoe Sasquatch page up, and here on the off chance someone posts to it while I'm on the air here. And it just took forever to load, and part of that is that I'm on my little tiny netbook that runs Windows XP, so things are bound to load rather slowly. But Facebook, doggone it. Just that sense of defeat that comes from knowing that I had to go back to Facebook. But anyway, you can reach me there. Let's see. We're running up on about 6 minutes left, and I have two things left in my notes that I want to talk about. Which one? Let's talk about the United States soccer team. Congratulations to them. They scored in stoppage time. I like to do this because I can also refer back to my previous blog post before the one I posted today. I posted one Tuesday. I'm posting every Tuesday and Friday from now on, by the way. Until further notice, anyway. The one I posted on Tuesday was about soccer, and the U.S. soccer team beat. They got a big win today in their World Cup qualifiers. They won 2-1 in that extra bit of time they put at the end of the second half to make up for when somebody got injured. And they beat that behemoth of world sport, Antigua. And here I've got Antigua up on Wikipedia. It is an island, actually a series of Leeward Island archipelago in the Caribbean Sea. Its land area is 281 square kilometers. That's 109 square miles. And where's the population? The largest city is St. John's, population 31,000. The total population of the country, 80,161 as of the 2011 census. Now, to give you a little bit of perspective, the population of the United States is 300 million. 300 million against 80,000, we barely beat them. And I love my country. I think it's neat when we struggle, because struggling makes you better. And we have so many advantages over so many people. We don't often have to struggle. And I think we get arrogant because of that. But we don't get better. We don't find new ways to do things. So I think it's good that we go to, I don't know if they were in Antigua. I think they were in Antigua. Let me look. We were in St. John's, Antigua for the game and just barely beat the what has to be, if not the smallest, among the smallest nation in CONCACAF, which is the western half of the world, I understand, governs soccer in the western half of the world. Antigua. So I'm on Wikipedia again. They have a nice map of Antigua, and here are the names. They call them parishes. They're the very states, I guess, or what would be the equivalent in the United States. Here are the names of the parishes in Antigua: St. Mary, St. John, St. George, St. Paul, St. Peter, and St. Philip. There's a distinct European flavor, and this is in the area where Columbus first landed, which brings us to Columbus Day, which is another reason why I wanted to make sure I talked about this. Of course, we have a number of my friends, a number of people in this country who don't really have a reason to celebrate the arrival of Columbus in this part of the world. And I think it got a little nastier last year than it did this year. There was a lot more defensiveness last year. I think people of European extraction are just getting a little bit more dismissive now. But anyway, this is sort of a nice parallel story, because here's this island in the Caribbean that had natives on it, and everything on the island is now named after something European, including Antigua. Antigua is a Spanish word meaning ancient, and Christopher Columbus gave it that name. The actual native name of the island is, oh my, I will never be able to pronounce that, Guadadili. Guadadili, maybe? I'd love to hear that pronounced. I'm sure it's pronounced beautifully. Incidentally, I learned not long ago, actually during the Olympics, that Greece is not the native name of that country. Let me see if I can find it. I mean, I couldn't imagine. But no, the name Greece is something, actually goes back to Roman times. The Romans conquered Greece, conquered that country. They gave it their own name, just like they stole all of their gods and gave the gods their own names. Let's see if... its official name is the Hellenic Republic. The native name for it is Elada. Am I reading this right? Elada? They have it in Greek letters. Let me see if I can find it written in normal English letters so I can pronounce it. And, of course, I got to wait for the computer to catch up with me. Hold on. My poor little computer. I ask so much of it. Probably messed it. There's a big blank space in the middle of the page. I was probably trying to load a picture. Elada, that's it. Elada. Or Hellas. Hellas are the names that the Greeks actually call their country. Which one would think is the people who would have the authority over that, but evidently not. So, I'm running out of time. I'm not going to get to the last thing. Maybe I'll get to it next week. It's about the election, so it certainly should still be relevant next week. Thank you for joining me, and maybe from the road one last time. I'm not sure. But in any case, I will be here, and we'll look forward to talking to you once again. Thank you so much, and good night.